on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans. And I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So, bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely, Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, you choose today's special to listen from IRIB English Radio. Salamun alaikum and welcome. We're going to speak about the importance of friend in Islam.
Sometimes I can't see where I'm supposed to go. Sometimes I speed up when I should take it slow. But through all my hard times, when I lose my way, you're concealing my mistakes. Yeah, I know you're always by my side, never turning out your light. When I need you most, your stars will shine.
Let's look at the calendar. Today, Saturday, is the 12th of Rabi Uthani, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 8th of the month of Azar, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 28th of November, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment by recitation of Surah Al-Zukhruf, verses 66 to 67.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Hal yanzuruna illa as-sa'ata an ta'tiyahum baghtatan wa hum la yash'urun.
Are they waiting except for the hour to come upon them suddenly while they perceive not?
Al-akhillaa'u yawma'idhin ba'duhum li ba'din 'aduwwun illa al-muttaqeen.
Close friends that day will be enemies to each other except for the righteous.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The day of resurrection shall come all of a sudden, and no one is aware of hour of its occurrence. All friendships, not based on piety and fear of Allah, will turn into enmity. It is natural that such friendships turn into enmity on that day, since earth and every of them reckons the other as the one leading him to misfortune and hopelessness.
I am what I am because you made. I have what I have because you gave. My love is strong because you are the one I call creator, my Alpha and Omega, my protector and my maker. Because of you, in weakness I am braver, my defender and my savior, my giver and my taker.
One question on today's special. What does Islam say about friendship? Let's listen. Human beings by nature are social creatures, in need of companions and friends. Most of our lives depend on interactions with others, and man is therefore compelled to live in society and with other individuals. Friendship in Islam is considered one of the divine blessings through which one overcomes loneliness and solitude. Islam has placed tremendous importance on sociability and friendship. In the Quran, great emphasis has been placed on the concept of friendship because maintaining good company plays a pivotal role in shaping the life of the individual, and it influences the path that will be chosen in life. Likewise, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny, on different occasions had clearly stated its importance, criteria for choosing a friend, characteristics of a good friend, and the rights of a friend. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about friendship and fraternity. In this connection, it must be indicated that people as, social beings, social human beings, need to make friends with others. And this making friends with others fulfills several functions. One of them is that since man is a social being, he needs being in connection with others, not for fulfilling his basic needs, or for example, needs regarding, for example, obtaining food or making shelter and so on. Rather, psychologically, everybody needs to make friends. At times, it has been proved that people find friends and make friends with those people with whom they feel many points to have in common. On the other hand, we find that in the Islamic teachings, friendship and making friends is also stressed. And it's indicated that, for example, in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam, "At-tawaddudu nisfu al-aql," making friends and being retaining friendship with others is a half of one's intellect.
Hey, all my life, doubting was a part of me. Day and night, I fight my insecurities, asking why, am I, who am I? I just want some peace of mind. And the salam, minka salam, tabarakta ya, ya dal jalali wal ikram. And the salam.
Rights of a friend. One of them is material care. It is incumbent to help the friend who suffers an economic crisis. It is in fact one of the obligatory rights of friendship and one of the proofs of loyalty. Allah in the Holy Quran praises some peoples who showed altruism. For example, in chapter 59, verse 9, Allah says, "They give preference to them over themselves, even concerning the things that they themselves urgently need." Imam Musa al-Kazim alayhi salam once asked one of his close companions, "How do you behave concerning your mutual association and relief?" The man answered, "We are in the best manner in this regard." The Imam asked, "Are you pleased when one of your needy associates come to your shop or house to take that which they need?" The man answered, "No, we aren't." Imam commented, "Now you are not behaving as I want you to do in this regard." Today's special and friendly ways how to choose good friends in Islam. Have the same aqidah, have the same creed. As Muslims, we are recommended to choose a friend who has the same aqidah with us. Aqidah or creed with us. That is intended to avoid disputes that could occur at any time. However, it does not mean that we should not be friends with non-Muslims. Muslims can be friends or have friends with non-Muslims as long as they are not the ones who fight us because of religion and do not bring badness toward us. And in making friends with non-Muslims, we also have to know the boundaries. Obedient on worship. In choosing friends, you must choose an obedient friend of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the Almighty in order to transmit His obedience toward us.
One of the amazing joys that we have in this life is the gift of friendship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed us with. Almost no other joy competes with the joy of friendship. Good friends have the capacity to change our lives. They help us with our problems. They give us new perspective on life. They help us with our depression. They can quickly change our attitude. Indeed, our friends enrich our lives. Unfortunately, many people, especially in Western societies, they don't have the pleasure of enjoying this gift, of benefiting from this gift. You know that in the UK, for example, there are 5 million people who say that we don't have true friends. Someone whom we can count on in times of difficulty, in times of hardship. You know what that means? When you don't have a true friend, someone whom you can depend on, do you know what that does to you? These 5 million people, you'll find them depressed. They suffer from depression. Many of them attempt suicide, and actually some of them end up committing suicide. Truly one of the greatest gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is the gift of friendship. However, at the same time, one of the greatest dangers in our lives is what? Friends. Bad friends. Evil friends. Friends who misguide you. Yes, friendship is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this same gift, if misused, if we don't approach it properly, it could be one of the biggest dangers in our life. You know, friends are supposed to give you company, good company. They take you out of your loneliness. But listen to what the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. In a beautiful hadith, he says, awhashul wahsha. What is the worst type of loneliness? What do you think? Solitary confinement in a prison cell? No. That's not the worst type of loneliness according to this hadith. What is it? Not to have family? The Prophet says the worst type of loneliness is qarinu su. An evil friend, a bad friend. Because even though you may think that this friend is giving you company, but in reality this friend will end up ruining your life, leaving you at the end, in the end, lonely, very empty, and depressed. Bad friends eventually will make you feel lonely.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/yen. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Hello. everyone, and today as Food for Thought we present you a mind-stimulating passage from the Ziyara, or standard form of salutation, for Hazrat Fatima Ma'sumah, peace be upon her, the sister of the Holy Prophet's 8th infallible heir, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Riza, peace be upon him. Peace upon you, and may God ensure cognition between us and you in paradise. Raise us on the day of resurrection in your company. Bring us to your Prophet's fountain of Kothar, and quench our thirst through the goblet of your ancestor by the hand of Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. As we mentioned, that Islam is a religion that builds community. Even we see that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, before an Islamic community even took shape, before Islam itself even took shape, got involved in the community project known as the, you know, assisting of the weak, or what is known as Hilful Fudul, and Mecca, when he himself did not, you know, purposely call out that he was a prophet, or the call of Islam was not actually made. But he joined in this community project because
the community or a group of youth who wanted to protect the rights of the weak was something that was of great importance, not only to Islam, but to humanity in general. And as I've mentioned, or has been mentioned in the program before, that Islam, majority of the time, did not create a rule. Rather, it strengthened a rule that was already implanted in the human nature, or something that, you know, was already within the society that had, for example, a lighter shade or a darker shade, and kind of, you know, gave it brightness or, you know, toned it down a bit, depending on what was beneficial to the human being. So here as well, protecting the weak, assisting the weak is the objective of the community. It is the responsibility of the community at large, that within their community, obviously, you will have those who are of power, those who are strong, and those who are weak. And if the weak one is unable to gain that right of his, that haq, the truth that he needs and he has actually, you know, should have, then we say that no, the community, something is wrong. And that's what we see today, unfortunately. It is always the strong, because of a certain position, because of certain attachment to a certain particular person or family, you know, we see that no, they cannot be touched, so to speak. And we see that throughout the world. It's not something, you know, new or particular to a particular place or time. So the Holy Prophet has said that a community who does not let the weak uphold their rights from the strong without obstacle will never be sanctified. That is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not enable this community to progress to a place where it needs to. Standing up for the weak is something of extreme importance. So we see that within a Muslim community, it is important for the whole community to come together in order to protect the rights of those who are unable to do it themselves, be it by means of assisting that person at places where they cannot be assisted, you know, showing them the ways in which to do it, or rather telling that individual who is stronger, you know, we as a community will not stand for what you are doing. And as we say, you know, powers of the people, so hopefully we as individuals will come together and show that, you know, strength is in numbers. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist us in having our responsibilities for others taken care of by ourselves as well. Insha'Allah, until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more. No more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, a program that broadcasts from Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran. And its aim is to bring the recitation of the Holy Quran into our lives. In this program, first, we are going to have some quotes about the Holy Quran by some Western scholars. Then, we are going to listen to some verses by famous reciters. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed, is going to analyze the recitation. And at the end, we have a segment called Attractiveness of the Holy Quran, presented by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Stay tuned. Paul Casanova, in his article, The Arab Teaching at the College of France, wrote, "Whenever Muhammad was asked a miracle as a proof of the authenticity of his mission, he quoted the composition of the Quran and its incomparable excellence as proof of its divine origin. And in fact, even for those who are non-Muslims, nothing is more marvelous than its language with such apprehensible plenitude and a grasping sonority. The ampleness of its syllables, with a grandiose cadence and with a remarkable rhyme, have been of much moment in the conversation of the most hostile and the most skeptic." Dear audience, now let's listen to the recitation of verses 99 and 100 of Surah Yusuf, recited by Abdul Fattah Taruti.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فلما دخلوا وقد أحسن بي إذ أخرجني من السجن وجاء بكم
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program, Let's Recite the Quran. What you just listened to was the recitation of Surah Yusuf, verses 99 to 100, by Sheikh Abdul Fattah al-Taruti. Now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of the rules of tajweed. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فلما دخلوا. In the phrase فلما, we have غنة of a ميم that is مشدد. ميم, whenever it is مشدد, is one of the cases where you have to apply غنة. غنة is a mechanism where the nasalization of a letter is held for two vowel counts. And the two letters of ghunna are mim and noon. Whenever they're mushaddad, whenever they have a tashdeed or shadda, you have to hold the sound of that letter as long as two vowel counts. Falamma, you hold the mim for two vowel counts. And this is ghunna. This is the strongest form of ghunna, because ghunna has different levels in terms of strength. The strongest is whenever mim or noon have shatta. And the weakest is whenever mim or noon have a haraka. Okay? For example, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The mim in Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim also has a ghunna, but it's not the mechanism of ghunna where you have to hold it for two vowel counts. It has the characteristic of ghunna. It's a nasalized consonant, but because we don't hold it for too long, it's called the weakest form of ghunna. Okay. فَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَى يُوسُفَ آوَى إِلَيْهِ آوَى إِلَيْهِ. We have two kinds of mad. First is madul badal. We have a hamza followed by an alif. This is madul badal. It has to be pronounced like an aliful mad. And it's two vowel counts. Madul badal in the riwayah of Hafs an Asim is two vowel counts all the time. Ilayhi, we have madul lin. And also we have madul munfasil. Awa ilayhi. وقال دخلوا مصر إن شاء الله آمين. قال, we have تفخيم of قاف. قال دخلوا مصر, the صاد has تفخيم because it's a letter of استعلاء. إن شاء, we have إخفاء of نون ساكنة. The نون ساكنة is not pronounced from its place of articulation. Instead, the place of articulation of sheen is approximated, and at the same time, a nasal sound is made for two vowel counts. Insha'Allah. And the sound has to come from both the nose and the mouth. If it comes only from the mouth, that would be incorrect. And if it only comes from the nose, that would also be incorrect. وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ وَخَرُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا. Sujjada, we have waqful ibdal here, one of the kinds of stopping on a word. وَقَالَ يَا أَبَتِ هَذَا تَأْوِيلُ رُؤْيَايَ مِنْ قَبْلُ. قَبْلُ, we have qalqala of ba. قَبْلُ قَدْ جَعْلَهَا رَبِّي حَقَّا. حَقَّا, we have buha in the ha. وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجْنِ. We have qalqala of the jim again, just like the ba. We apply it in a similar way. Sijin, sijin. We don't say sijin, we say sijin. There's some movement, but not as much as a vowel. وَجَاءَ بِكُم مِنَ الْبَدْوِ مِن بَعْدِ. مِن بَعْدِ, we have iqlab. أَنَّزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي. إِنَّ رَبِّي لَطِيفٌ لِمَا يَشَاءُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. Again, in إِنَّهُ, we have غُنَّة. of Noon because it's Mushaddad. It has a Shaddah. Thank you, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Let's Recite the Quran. Until next time, may Allah bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
كتاب الله كتاب الله كتاب الله.
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, you're listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, the Quran is a book that can change the life of the one who is in contact with it. In this segment, Brother Yasser Ibrahim is going to tell us stories of those that their lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Mawlana Abil Qasim al Mustafa Muhammad wa ala Ahli Baytihi al Tayyibin al Tahirin al Ma'sumin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Inshallah, in today's episode, we'll be mentioning one of the historical miracles of the Holy Quran. It can be looked at in another way, but this is one of the historical, or even one of the scientific miracles of the Holy Quran. Yes, we do not want to get into a certain discussion here on what does this actually mean. The miracle we are talking about is Fir'aun and the body of Fir'aun. Now, in Surah Yunus, from verse number 90 to verse number 92, it mentions about Fir'aun and him trying to cross the Nile and being drowned, and his body then being delivered, you know, as a means, or rather as a lesson for those to come after. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. So today we shall deliver your body. Or you can translate it as we will save your body. You know, save not means as save, but save as in to keep it. So that you may be a sign for those who come after you. Now, back in the day where, for example, the pyramids of Egypt or Giza and stuff, according to some scholars, were not looked into, were not, you know, explored. The Europeans did not go and plunder the African continent. Before that, you know, scholars who do not basically have this type of knowledge of embalming and so on and so forth, even though this is questionable, but we'll take it as this according to the story. You know, so scholars at that time believed that this verse meant that the Quran saved the body of Fir'aun so that those individuals who would see it during that particular era, after the event of Musa alayhi salam, would take lessons from it. Meaning what? Meaning that Fir'aun and his army were drowned. Obviously, the body would have washed up onto shore eventually. Because the verse is saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have saved the body. Meaning that from the creatures of the Nile, from the creatures of the sea, they would not have been eaten. It would have been, you know, preserved and sent back to the shore. Those individuals, traders or other kings, whoever they may be, normal individuals, they would see the body dying on the shore and take lessons from it and say, look at this person here. This person was the one who claimed that I am your Lord Almighty. But look at him now. He's lying on the floor with a decomposing body, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala degraded him. So this is what people understood, that this was the lesson. That the lesson was this, that obviously they did not know about embalming and so on and so forth, or what Allah actually meant. But they felt and they thought, according to their own understanding of science and their own understanding of knowledge, not to say that it was bad or anything like that. No, they understood that this might actually be one of the possible explanations of it. That yes, this occurred, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the body of Fir'aun a lesson for those who pass by, a lesson for those who wish to do the same thing and make the same claims that he made. Inshallah, we will continue on this discussion in our next episode. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
Ocean of Dua.
أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear listeners, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Rarsi, and we're gonna be with you with another edition of The Ocean of Dua. In this version of the program, inshallah, we will discuss the true meaning of prayer and dua, the value of prayer, ways of reaching the Almighty Allah, acceptance and also benefits of dua. So stay with us. Dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners, we finished talking about the things we shouldn't ask for when we supplicate to the Almighty Allah. Shortly speaking, we shouldn't pray to have something in contrary to the norms of the Almighty Allah in universe. It's not appropriate to wish for the eradication of blessings from the others. We shouldn't pray for illegal things, and neither should we have petition against our own advantage. And since we are all Muslim brotherhoods, we shouldn't invoke evil upon the other believers, and we shouldn't seek refuge from the tests the Almighty Allah has put for us in this world. In chapter Tawbah, the Holy Quran reads a very beautiful verse. Say, if your fathers and your son, your brethren, your spouses, and your kinsfolk, and the possessions that you have acquired, the business you may suffer, and the dwellings you are fond of, are dearer to you than Allah and His Apostle, and to waging jihad in His way, then wait till Allah issues His edict, and Allah does not guide the transgressing lot.
رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ.
From this program on, we're going to talk about the divine love in the supplications of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. In fact, the supplications that have gotten to us and have been recited from the lips of the Ahlul Bayt are totally the embodiments of passion and love to the Almighty Allah. The correct form of relation with the Almighty Allah, the Exalted, develops as a result of the coming together of a number of harmonious elements. The Islamic sources reject the idea that the relation with Allah should be established based upon a very single element, be it fear, hope, love, or humility. So they regard such a relation as one devoid of equilibrium and harmony. You may have heard that we should have khawf and raja both together, alongside with each other, just like the two wings that enable us to fly. There is a range of elements that make up the correct form of relationship with the Almighty Allah. Some of these have been mentioned in detail in the verses of the Holy Quran. Of course, some of them have also been mentioned in traditions and supplications. For example, some of these elements are hope in the Almighty Allah, which is read as Raja, fear of the Almighty Allah, or Khawf, pleading before Him, or Tadarrur. And something close to this, we also have Khushu', or humility towards Him, lowliness, the equivalent of which could be Tadallul, love, yearning for Him, intimacy with Him, returning to Him, or inaba and tauba, dedicating to Him, pleading for His forgiveness and istighfar, also seeking protection from Him, beseeching His mercy, and total absorption in the Almighty Allah, sometimes praising the Almighty Allah, or which is called hamd and tamjid, extolling Him, obedience, servanthood and ubudiyyah, His remembrance and neediness to Him, and holding fast to Him. These are all among the elements that we are ordered to have when we try to establish a kind of communication or relation with the Almighty Allah.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, "Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad." Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo keshti ab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Ab kamju tishnagi avar bedas. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. Ta beju shad ab az bala va asr. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the merciful God will come towards you. Paradise, thank you Allah. Now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. Knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn alayhi salam, Zayn al-Abidin, says in a supplication, "O Allah, I ask you to fill my heart with love of you, awe of you, belief in you, faith in you, fear of you, and yearning toward you." A harmonious spectrum for establishing a relation with Allah is constituted of these various elements. And we should try to consider each of these elements as a key to a door out of the doors of the Almighty Allah's mercy and recognition. For instance, beseeching Allah for His mercy is the key to His mercy, as pleading for His forgiveness is the key to His forgiveness. We will try to talk about and elaborate on each of these elements in the future programs. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering the doubts and questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah هو إذا الرحمن
Allah
هو إذا المنان.
لا إله إلا الله.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.